All right. So let's pray, and we will dive into Hebrews chapter 11 again, where we left off, which was in verse 7. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity just to get in your word, Lord. We know that it is your word that is designed to renew our minds, to bathe us, Lord, to help us be those people who are not worldly-minded, but heavenly-minded people, Lord. And so we thank you that we have your word. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this section of the book of Hebrews, where we look at these, I guess we could call heroes of the faith. Really, you're the hero of the faith, because you are the focus of our faith, Lord, and the author of our faith. And so, Father, we just thank you that we have this text to go through, to encourage us, to remind us that we are a people who are to live by faith and not by sight. Lord, we're not to trust in the temporal, but we're to keep our eyes fixed on the eternal and ultimately fixed on you. You are the focus of our faith, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray that you just teach us today from your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we left off really in verse 6, I guess. We just got started into looking at this chapter on faith. And as we remember right, the writer is encouraging this group of people after he had given them a very strong warning and reminded them that those who've been justified by faith are also those who should be living by faith, and that we have a need to persevere and to persevere in the faith. Then he gives this whole chapter on those who've gone before us, and they were their Old Testament heroes that these people would be very familiar with, reminds them of how they lived in faith, how they had that mindset where they were certain of the things that they had not seen, and that they had that assurity of things that they hoped for, and that was because their faith was directed towards God. Whatever revelation that they had of God, they trusted in that, and they trusted in God to be the one who was who he said he was, and that he was the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we started to just look at that as we went into it last week. And so we're going to continue to look at some of the examples of faith, and then as we move farther into the text, we'll look at those who were tested under faith. And, you know, every one of us, if we're a believer, we can be sure our faith is going to be tested, okay? And why is that? Why is our faith going to be tested? What's the reason that that's going to happen? What's that? Okay, so to purify our faith, so we grow and our faith grows, and it ultimately has a great outcome too. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, and it's to the glory of God. Okay, and so God wanting to bring us to that fullness of faith and grow us in the faith, he tests our faith so that it's to the praise of his grace and his glory in the end. So let's go to 1 Peter real quick, and I want to just read from 1 Peter, and we did this before as we were looking at this, but I want to read through it again, starting in verse 3 of 1 Peter. Just three. What's that? Oh, chapter 1. Sorry, I thought I said that. Chapter 1. So, verse 3, starting in chapter 1, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So Peter, there as he's encouraging these believers, is really speaking the same language of the writer of Hebrews, okay? Talking about this faith that is we need to persevere in, okay? And that it has a great outcome, both it's to the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ, and it's also end result is the salvation of our souls and us being revealed in glory with Christ. So he's talking about that future salvation, that inheritance, okay, which is our resurrection and the glory that we inherit as we enter into the New Jerusalem. So that's what he's dealing with there. It's the same thing the Hebrews, writer to Hebrews is dealing with, but the indication there is what? That our faith will be tested. Because our faith needs to be tested, so it's purifying it, so that it really does become that which is to the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ, at that revelation of Christ. So that's why that's taking place. Has a glorious outcome for us, but it has hardship right now. Okay, and so when we get farther into the text, we're going to see where these different heroes of the faith are tested. Their faith is tested by fire. Okay, we can be sure ours is going to be too. All right. There's going to come situations in our life. There's going to come hardships in our life. There's going to come opportunities for us to indulge ourselves. All kinds of different things that will come our way that are going to test our faith and whether we persevere in it. What we see in these people in this text is that they persevered even unto death. Okay, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is calling those believers to do. That's what he's calling us. The Holy Spirit's calling us to do the same thing. That we're a people who persevere in our trust in God right to the very end. For it has a glorious outcome. If we draw back, God has no pleasure in that. Okay, there's no honor in that. Now, are we still going to receive our resurrection body? Yeah, but there's that reality of great loss, okay? And the loss is not just for us. The loss is also to Christ, okay? Because he's not being glorified. He's not being honored in that. So let's go back to the text in Hebrews. So you can be sure faith's going to be tested. And as we get farther into the text, we'll see the testing of these heroes of the faith's faith. So in verse 6 again, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, that being God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we want to please God, if there wants to be our life, a life that's pleasing, then it's a life of what? Faith. Okay? It's a life where we trust God in all things, where we stop living by sight, but we live by faith. And trusting that God is, what does that mean? Trusting that he is. That he is. He is. That he is the I am, the one and only God, the pre-existent one, the only God and Savior. It's believing that that's who he is, and that truly he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, just as he's promised. Okay? And so as we move into the next person of faith, as he talks about Noah here, we see here that reality of Noah having trusted that and receiving the reward, okay? So that he really is, Noah trusts that God is who he says he is, and then he receives as the outcome of that a reward from God. So let's look at Noah here. So it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So, Noah being this next example we have, he is what? Divinely warned. All right, so what does that mean? God warns him. God tells him that he's going to do what? And if you guys can go back and read the story in Genesis, and I encourage you guys, go back and read the stories that are attached to each of these. We're not going to spend all that time with each one of them going back and reading the whole story. But go back and read the story that's attached to this text here so you get the full story. So we know that Noah was warned by God of what? A flood. He's going to flood the earth. He's going to destroy the earth with a flood. And everything on the earth itself and all of mankind is going to be destroyed with a flood. Those who would not turn and repent are going to be wiped out in that flood. So God tells Noah that's the case and tells him to do what? Prepare an ark. Okay? Now, think about this whole scenario for a minute. There's this divine warning that comes to Noah about a flood. What's a flood? Okay. And if you ever listened to the Bill Cosby tape long ago on the Noah thing, it was kind of funny, but it had some of these kind of questions in it. Do you remember, anybody remember that? Way back when, Bill Cosby did a spoof on the Noah deal. But a lot of what he said was actually very funny, and it actually fit the text. The reality is, what's an ark, number one? Okay, nobody's seen an ark. What do you need an ark for? What's a flood? Now, why would we think on that? Because we know what floods are, right? Well, we got to go back to think about the scenario. How was the earth watered at this point? Okay, it was a mist that came up from the ground. They'd never even seen rain. There'd never been rain coming down from the sky. When we see a downpour here in the summertime with a thunderstorm, we can say, whoa, the creeks might be really full in just a little bit. Okay? They'd never seen anything like that. So Noah is trusting God at his word, and he's trusting in God as who he is. If he's God and he says this, then I trust in him that whatever he says, he's going to bring to pass. Do we believe God that way ourselves? That whatever God says, he is going to bring to pass. That's the way we should believe. That's the faith that we should believe. We should say, okay, I'm trusting that what he says is certain. It's going to happen. I'm believing it as if it's already happened. I'm hoping in those things that are unseen, just as though that reality is right now present. Okay? So he tells Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. Okay? I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. I want you to build an ark. How long was the process of ark building? 120 years. Okay, so he's building an ark for 120 years. What do you think's going on while he's building the ark and his neighbors are looking in on him? What is this nut doing? And oftentimes, people of faith are looked at as what? Nuts. These people are nuts. They live by faith in what? Well, what are we living by faith in? Living by faith in God. We're trusting that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he'll faithfully fulfill on the things that he says he's going to do. And so it's up to us then to trust. If he gives us something to do. And so here's Noah's life's work laid out before him. Okay? Or a big part of his life's work. Now he lived a lot of years. Okay? But 120 years was a pretty good period of that lifespan. So he's got 120 years of a career of building an ark. Every day having to go out there and work on this thing by what? Faith. Trusting that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Now, every day that Noah's out there doing that work, what's he doing? He's condemning the world. Okay? Because the world's mocking and jeering, I'm sure, and doubting. I suppose when the water got up to their lips is when their mouths were silenced. Okay? You know, that's a harsh reality, but there was a time when they're mocking. And when it started to rain, I wonder how many of them started going, what's going on? And I wondered how many of them started thinking, well, maybe, but apparently none of them turned. You always wonder if they were outside after the door was shut on the ark, if there wasn't some of them outside banging on the door. But there's a point that it's too late, isn't it? Okay? God gives ample opportunity for people to repent. He gives ample opportunity for people to believe in him. And when that time comes to an end, it's done. And that's what we need to always remember. There's a time to come to faith, and there's a time we live by faith. After that, it's too late. So Noah has this career. He's got this career laid out before him. How many of us, sir, would be willing to, if God gives us a career, and he does, he's given every one of us a career. Okay? And the career is to do what? Diligently seek him and live by faith as we do that. Okay? And our career might be all kinds of different things, but he's given us a career to be those people who are testifying and giving a testimony of God throughout our lifetime. That's our career. And that's what Noah's doing. He's giving a testimony to the truth and the true nature of the living God as he's doing this work. And so that's the career that God's given us, is to testify him. And as we testify of him, oftentimes it condemns the world. And as the world's being condemned, what does the world generally do? They mock us. OK, okay? They come against us. Are we willing to keep trusting God in what he said he's going to do? That there is a salvation reward for us, the saving of our souls and this inheritance that's yet future? Are we willing to forsake the comforts of this world and all the things of this world, the mockings and the jeerings that might come from people around us? Are we willing to continue to press on knowing that God has a promise ahead of us? That's what he's calling us to, isn't it? So do we really believe the word of God? And do we really believe what God's established out ahead for us? Are we allowing those things that we're hoping for to be as certain as if they're already here for us? That's what faith does. That's what we've already seen. Faith brings those things that are future right into the present and makes us as certain of those as if they've already happened. So Noah was as certain of this flood and this work that God was going to do as though it had already happened. That's what his faith was doing for him. And so he was able to continue to endure in this career that he had. Life's pretty short, isn't it, for us? But sometimes it feels hard to endure in this career that he's given all of us, doesn't it? To live by faith and trust in him. And so oftentimes we decide, you know what, I could make another plan. Could Noah have made another plan? Sure, he could have. He could have turned away from what God gave him as a career to do and done his own thing. And maybe for a time, might have been nice for him. Okay, there could have been those passing pleasures that came with him choosing to go a different path. And oftentimes there are those things that happen in our life where we choose to live by sight and start to live in the temporal. And there's certain temporal rewards that come with that. But the temporal rewards ultimately get flooded, don't they? Ultimately, they get destroyed. So we're not to be a people who live by sight and live by the temporal realities down here, but are those people looking to the future? And if we keep looking to the future and what God said he will do, then we're those kind of people who can live daily in the career that he's given us to live in and not be discouraged and not get off track. Though every person of faith gets off track. Okay? Along the way, as we look at these heroes of the faith, in every one of their lives, there were some shortcomings in their faith. But what's really cool is when they're recorded here, none of those shortcomings are revealed. That's what's really awesome. God just sees the end of their faith. And that's what he'll see in us. So we persevere, continuing to trust God. So Noah trusted God. He was moved with godly fear, so that godly fear moved him to prepare an ark. So godly fear wasn't that he was in the sense of afraid of God, but he had a reverence for who God really was. Okay? So he prepared an ark, and there was an outcome for it too. It was for the saving of his household. And that's a reminder for us, too, that our faith can have a great deal to do with our own household. Okay? Being people who trust God and live by faith can affect our household. It can affect it very positively. If we're choosing to not live by faith and we start to live by sight, it can affect our household very negatively. Okay? And so there's an outcome for our household if we'll continue by faith. So it says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so this idea of being heir of the righteousness which is according to faith, it sounds a lot like what Abraham received by his faith, right? There's that righteousness that comes from faith. And that's the only way righteousness really comes. But here I think the righteousness that that's being talked about is not just his present salvation, but it was also that future reality of salvation too. Noah became the heir in one sense, not only of this righteousness that comes by faith, which would be a hope and resurrection ultimately, but he became the heir of a new world for a time, didn't he? And so this would be a reminder to these readers that you are going to be heirs of a world to come. That's what he started with in the very first chapter. He says, these things we speak, we're speaking about the world to come. Okay, and so if these people will continue to persevere in faith like Noah, then they can be rested assured that they're going to be having a great part in that world to come. All right, and so that's one of the encouragements for them and for us. Let's move on. He says, by faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham. So we move to Abraham, the father of the faith. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. So what's the story on Abraham? Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. He was probably a pagan. Okay? He had an encounter with God. All we know is that God met with him and calls him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out to a place which he promises will be his inheritance. Okay? Makes it very clear here that he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Now, we know that he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith. God calls him out of the place, tells him that he's going to give him a promise, but he doesn't know where he's going. How many of us are willing to live like that? That's faith, isn't it? He calls us to leave one place, but we don't know yet where we're going. But how could Abraham do that? Apparently by the revelation that he had of God. Okay, and he trusts that God is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he's able to believe in God for this and leave the place of his homeland, Ur, and head out. And so the story is in Genesis chapter 12. We see that's where it starts, and we see Abraham's journey. Now, when Abraham is on this journey, lots of different things take place in his life, and lots of things take place in Abraham's life. Sometimes there's lack of faith in Abraham's life, okay? But ultimately, he continued under the tests of his faith. He continued to persevere and believe God. And that's the whole issue, isn't it? The issue is not losing our hope and trust in God. Okay, and that's what these believers in the book of Hebrews were doing. They were losing their hope and trust in God as he was revealed through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't draw back. Abraham could have drawn back. He could have went back to the place that he had went out from. But he didn't, did he? He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. So what does that tell us about this life that Abraham was living, this journey of faith that he had? So he did go into the land God promised him. And what was his possession of that in his lifetime? He bought a little spot of it, which was a burial place for his family. That's all he possessed of it. Okay? What about Jacob and Esau? What about Isaac and on down the line? Okay? It goes on for generations where they've got this hope in this land of promise that's been given to them by God, but they're not seeing the fulfillment of that, but they continue to live by faith. And notice it says that they lived in tents, dwelling in this foreign country. It was their land of promise as in a foreign country. In other words, they weren't possessors of it, but they believed that they would be. That's real faith, isn't it? And so in the process, they're being pilgrims and sojourners in that land, trusting in God. So it's as though that they're not possessors of it yet, but what does faith do? Brings that which is future into the present. So they're believing what God said will come to pass. Do we believe what God says will come to pass? It's the same question over and over for us, isn't it? Do we really believe in the things that God says? Do we really believe in God? So they dwelt in that land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why was he able to accomplish that? Well, tells us verse 10, for he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If his eyes would have been solely on what was taking place right in front of him day to day, how well do you think he would have done? He would have went back to Ur. Okay? But there's a future hope that was laid out. Now, we don't know of how he had this revelation, but apparently God gave him this revelation of a city whose maker and the foundations, the maker of the foundations was God. What city is he talking about? He's talking about the New Jerusalem. We're talking something that's clear off in the future that these people of faith couldn't obtain apart from God's work in the church, which would come thousands of years later. And yet they were believing God that they would come into possession of that, or be those people who were part of that reality. So by the revelation that we have, that we are going to be, and we are the bride of Christ, and we're described as that holy city ourselves, the inhabitants of it, does that help you in your day-to-day existence down here? That's what it's designed to do. Getting our hope set on those future things as though they're a reality for us right now, because they are our reality, is what gets us through this day-to-day grind. And it's often a day-to-day grind. We're led where we don't want to go. I'm saying that in the natural. In the spirit, our spirit wants to go willingly with Christ wherever. My natural man doesn't want to go anywhere with Christ, because it's totally contrary to what the natural man desires. My natural man wants what? To fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what my natural man desires. But Christ is leading me away from that into what? Glory. And so I need to get my eyes on that glory as though it's already taken place, that it's already a present reality, and then I'll be able to continue in faith, trusting in Him during the day-to-day part of my career that's not so easy. Okay? And while I'm doing that, it'll give me great hope to be bringing other people along. Okay? Because that's one of the things. I had this little quick revelation of the day. It's like, you have one chance to bring as many people to heaven with you as possible. Isn't that kind of cool? We have one chance. We got one short lifetime to bring as many people along to heaven with us as God enables. Okay? Because it is God enabling for that to happen, isn't it? But that's what we get to do in this life. And so oftentimes I think about, am I even concerned about that? But that's my daily career. And my other part of my daily career is, and it's our, and when I say this mine, I'm saying ours, part of that too is what? Encouraging one another onto love and good works. So we have an opportunity to bring people into that awareness of the kingdom of heaven, that there's a reality of entering into that glory with Christ, and we have that ability to also then encourage those who are already on that path. And that's part of our career. Everything else is just the stuff we do outside of that to get by every day. But so oftentimes the stuff we do outside of that is what weighs us down. It's the stuff that goes on in this world that gets us off track from that career and gets us off track from that glory that awaits us. So again, the writer brings these things before us. The Holy Spirit always wants to bring that future reality before us so that we continue to walk by faith. We're in need of perseverance, right? So what's going to help us persevere more than having these examples of those that have gone before us that have persevered in faith without even having seen the promises they kept going? That's what's kind of amazing to me, because we are looking back at so many of the fulfillments of so many of the promises. No, I haven't seen that future glory yet, okay? But I have testimony to it that Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of it. Right? When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, they saw him in his heavenly glory and that kingdom glory. And therefore, Peter said, because of that, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Everything you're reading is absolutely true about that future kingdom glory, about the New Jerusalem. All that stuff's absolutely true. Do you believe it? Does it give you hope and encouragement to get through tomorrow? What it's designed to do, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Even when we don't see those things in the natural, we see them through spiritual eyes. Let's go on to the next one of faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Okay, so what'd Sarah do? She laughed. Isn't it interesting that that's not recorded? When God first speaks about this scenario, She's in the tent in the back chuckling, like, what? You know, I'm barren, and Abraham's like past the age of childbearing, both of us, no matter what. What's this you're talking about? Doesn't record that, because what ultimately happened, what it says here, she did believe God, okay? And so that promise that came, she was able to conceive. God strengthened her to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So again, she's trusting that God is faithful, the one who promised really is who he says he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So she trusted that. Therefore, it says, from one man, and him as good as dead, that being Abraham, were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, innumerable as the sand which by the seashore. Now, all these, that being Noah, Abraham, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we look at Abraham and Sarah and the offspring that come from them. All these people, did they see the promises? No, they saw them afar off. They saw them as though faith would bring them right into the present, is how they saw them. You think about this for a minute. Abraham has what? A son, okay, Isaac. We're going to see here later when he's asked to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau, Jacob being the heir of promise there, okay? By the time Abraham dies, he has a son and two grandsons. What's the promise to him? That he's going to have an innumerable offspring, numbering more than the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heavens. Did he see any of that? No. One son and two grandsons? That's all he has by the time he dies. So he died in what? As it says, they all died in faith. So it reminds us there's a necessity and there is a reality that we can persevere in faith right up to the end. And so that's what God's calling us to do. That's what he's calling these Hebrew believers to do. That's what he's calling us to do today, is be those people who continue to trust God right up to the very end. Okay? Persevering in the faith, that's what pleases God. If we draw back, it says his soul has no pleasure in that. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay? So they saw them how? Through the eyes of faith. So it was not having that natural sight that they were leaning on and resting on. It was that spiritual sight that they were resting on. They were assured of them. Why could they be assured of them? Because they were assured of who God was. They trust that God is, and that he would reward them with the things he promised. And so even though they hadn't seen those things, they were absolutely assured that they would happen. They embraced them, and they confessed what? That they were pilgrims and strangers on this earth. So they weren't people looking for a present promise, but they were people who were looking for a future reality. And they kept their hope in that. He says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. What kind of homeland? It says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, so for Abraham it was Ur, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So he goes back to this issue of that future glory, of that new heavens and new earth, with that new Jerusalem, that's that reality for those who have come to faith in him. And that's what their focus is on. That's what they're looking forward to. So what does faith do? It brings those future realities into the present. If we lose sight, faith sight, what are we left with? What are we left with if we lose this, our eyesight on these future things? We're left with the temporal. What's the temporal going to do for us? Be temporal. It's going to burn up. Okay, it was flooded once. It's going to burn the second time. The reality is if we're putting our hope in these things, they're all going to fade away. Now, does that mean that we can't get some temporal pleasure or enjoyments or some of our desires fulfilled right here and right now? We can, but those things all come to what? Nothing. They all come to nothing. So as these people of faith were, so too are we supposed to be. And that is people who confess ourselves to be strangers, pilgrims on this earth. What does it mean to be a stranger and a pilgrim? Somebody who isn't what? Not rooted, not grounded down here in this earth, putting all their hope and trust in this earth, not trying to use this present reality to find their fulfillment and to find their reward, but someone who's looking to something far better. The natural world looks to this world for all their reward, and they get it. And it all comes to nothing. Okay? We look for a future reward, a heavenly reward. Okay? A heavenly country, as he says. A city whose foundations, and the maker of that city whose foundations are made by God. Okay? So that's what we're looking forward to, not this temporal reality. How many of us believe that that's the reality for us? I hope we believe it's the reality for us, but how often do we not live as strangers and pilgrims? And we start living for this present reality and getting our rewards right here. These guys dwelt in tents. What is tent living all about? Anybody done tent living? Okay. Audrey and I lived in a tent for, I don't know what, about 4 months? Something like that. Okay. You know, it's fun for a while. Then after a while, it's not fun. Okay. And the reality is it's a hard way of living. Okay. It's not getting all of our creature comforts always met. Okay. It's not having the easiest existence. It creates hardship oftentimes. But we're to be looking to that future world. But it's easy for us, and especially in our culture, one of the things that's very easy for us to do is to pad ourselves in our pilgrim, stranger sojourn. It's real easy to start padding ourselves with creature comforts. Because it's easy to get creature comforts here, isn't it? Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have certain things, but the reality is oftentimes we go over the top with the creature comforts from this world that we can obtain them so easily in, and we start getting our comforts and our pleasures and our desires met from the temporal things around us. And we start to kind of overindulge in those things. Very easy for us to do that. And what happens when we do that? Our eyes start drifting away from that future glory, and it becomes a distant reality rather than a present reality. You know, when you don't have anything, it's really easy for that future reality to become the present reality for you. But when you got all kinds of stuff, it's a lot harder for that present reality to mean something to us. So would it be better for us to say, you know what? I want to be a pilgrim and a stranger and really choose to live that way rather than to be those people who say, well, I kind of like both. It's easy to kind of like both sometimes, isn't it? Well, I want to be a pilgrim because I really know that's the way I'm supposed to live, a pilgrim stranger life, and you know, and I really want to live by faith, but you know, I don't want it to be hard. And sometimes that's the way we think, isn't it? But sometimes living by faith is really, really hard. Not really knowing. You know, we don't know whether we're going to have, you know, these people, when you're living a pilgrim stranger mentality, do you know exactly where your next camping spot's going to be sometimes? No, they were going out continually journeying. When you look at the life of these people who live by faith, they're on the move quite a lot. didn't know exactly where the next place was going to be that they might put their tents up, didn't know if it was going to be a friendly place where they put their tents up, didn't know if there was going to be conflict against them. Okay? And that's the life of faith, isn't it? Not knowing for sure what the next step would be here, but always knowing for sure what God's given us out in the future. Okay? So we're being called, when we're being called to a life of faith, it's to step outside of the natural and to have God and be willing to have Him lead us, gird us and lead us where we do not want to go in the natural. That's hard, isn't it, sometimes to think about that? Don't know if I like that all the time. I've got to live a lot of times the life of faith, okay? And a lot of times I just get really tired of that life of faith and I start looking for ways to comfort myself in temporal things, okay? I told you about that last night. I had a great plan that would be very appealing to my natural man, and if it worked out right, it could create riches that would make me really comfortable, because, you know, that's what we need, right? Riches are important to being comfortable, we think. And all those things, you know, and you get these fantasy dreams about, you know, and sometimes we can create those realities real easily. The culture we live in allows us sometimes to create those kind of realities for ourselves very, very easily. But they're outside of the life of faith. God has something better for us, okay? Are we like these people who desire a better, that is, a heavenly country? Desire that more than what you got right here? What if all this conflict in the Middle East caused our country tomorrow morning to be under nuclear attack and your house got wiped off the face of the earth, but you got out? Darn. But you got out. That's the good thing would be is if we didn't, huh? But you got out. And now you have no place to dwell. How are you going to do with that? How do we do with that? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know this, that in God's strength, if we keep our focus on Him, we could endure in that. Okay? And you know what? That is happening for people around the world. Tomorrow morning, there will be people who've lost their homes in conflicts in the Middle East. Okay? In different places in the world. And, you know, what would that be like? And if we don't have a focus on another country, that heavenly country, it would be devastating. Absolutely devastating. And we'd be looking for some place to try and bring us some kind of comfort. You know, we'd be looking at some NGO agency or something, builds a house or whatever. You know, that we're gonna. That's what we start doing. You know, run around trying to get the insurance company to fix it and pay for it and do all those things. But that's not what we're about as Christians. Okay? And your insurance company might pay for it. That's fine. But you know what? That's not what we're to be looking for. Our hope and trust is to be in Christ. Okay, and you know, a life of faith is also a life of what? Forsaking a lot of things. It's a willingness to forsake things for that future. Okay, and these people forsook a lot of things. Because Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees, that was a big step. He could have went back to the Ur of the Chaldees. I suppose, from what you hear about the remnants of Ur and those places, they were awesome places, okay? They were very, very metropolitan cities. They had all the comforts that you might want. He could have stayed there and had all kinds of comforts, couldn't he? Or when he went out, he could have along the way decided to say, well, you know what, I'm tired of this journey. I'm going to buy a big piece of property, because you know what? Abraham became what? Finally became very wealthy. He could have just bought big chunk of land, said, here's where we're settling, folks. This is where the new home is. We're going to establish our Zion in the desert right now, and we've got it. Could have done that. But what did he do? He kept forsaking that because God had made a promise to him. And he wasn't going to try and fulfill it by himself. Although, is that totally true? Abraham did try and fulfill some of those promises by himself, didn't he? So just like us, as people who live a life of faith, there's times we get off track and we start to try and do those kinds of things and not live by faith, but live by sight and bring about even what we think, well, God promised, so now I'll bring it about for Him. Okay? but that's not what we're to do. We're to keep trusting him and trusting that those future realities that he's promised will come about in their time, and he'll bring them about for us. And that's where our hope and trust should be. So that's a life of faith, isn't it? We're going to stop right there before we move on, because as we move on, we're going to start to see then these people of faith tested in their faith. So far we've just seen what faith's doing for them. We're going to start to see how they hold up under tests of faith as we go on next week. So, in the life of faith, what should we expect? What's that?
Trials.
We should expect trials in the life of faith, okay. Should we expect that it would maybe then with trials that it may not always be comfortable, okay? It could come with hardships. There may be times that it's wonderfully comfortable too, living in the life of faith. Could be just wonderful and glorious, but we can expect there's going to be trials along the way. What else might we expect in the life of faith?
Encouragement from the Lord.
He's going to encourage us along the way, always, because he's the one who's the author of our faith, and he wants to lead us through that faith and get us home, doesn't he? Okay, so he's always going to be there as our encourager, our strengthener, if we'll run to him. But we have to run to him, don't we? Okay. What else might we expect in the life of faith? What's that?
Rejection.
Okay, there could be rejection in the life of faith. Okay. And what else can we, major thing we can expect in the life of faith? Not seeing the fulfillment of all the promises necessarily in our own lifetime. Okay. That may be the reality for us. You know, so oftentimes we live like, I'm going to get raptured. I'm not going to die. And we should be hoping in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that. Okay? And we should all have that hope. But sometimes we get the hope that I'm not going to have to face death, because somehow death is a terrible thing for us. You know, that's not faith. Death is not a terrible thing for the believer. Death is actually entrance into our reality. So that's not really faith when we're going, I'll get out of here in the rapture instead of death thing. I don't want to do the death thing. Yeah, we think that, but we're afraid of death too. Quite frankly, oftentimes we're just afraid of death, okay? Because we don't really always trust what death does for us. Death brings us into the presence of the living God. Okay? And we forget those things. We forget some of those realities that he's set up before us. Now, I'm not saying we should then run around seeking to die. Okay? That's not living by faith either. Okay? But, you know, we should be in that mode where we understand there's better things. Okay? So that's the reality. So those are some of the things we can expect in the life of faith. So, again, I'd encourage you guys to go back and read the stories in the Old Testament that go along with these so you can fill in all the blanks. All we're doing is just summary, scratching the surface. Go back and read the stories because they'll be super encouraging. One of the most encouraging parts of reading the stories about these people of faith is that they remind me that they're human beings trusting in God, in who he is, that he really is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and they have flaws along the way. And that's super encouraging to me, because just like last night, I got way off track from a life of faith. Okay? And I could go on being very discouraged. Well, I'm such an idiot. Why do I get off track? But it's like, no, I'm encouraged, because you know what? The Lord is faithful to bring us back on track and bring us right back into that place where we go, no, my focus needs to be here, on God and what he's doing and what he has as an ultimate reward. That's where my eyes should be. So it's encouraging to read those stories about them. So I'd encourage you to do that. Anyway, let's pray. We'll close with that. Father, we thank you. Hey, those guys came in perfect time to say amen. I love it. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord, and your word. And Lord, I know there's so much we need to learn as your people about trusting you, Lord, and you're faithful to teach us those things. As we live this life of faith, you're faithful to allow trials and tribulations and hardships, tragedies, all kinds of things to come our way to test our faith and to purify it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you know what you're doing. And you, who's begun a good work in us, is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We thank you for all those things, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your word to encourage us, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit who teaches us and implants it in our heart, Lord. So, Father, I just pray that we would continue as we study these people who have lived the life of faith, even unto death, without seeing the promises, Lord, that we'd be encouraged by their lives, Lord. We'd be encouraged by what we see. And ultimately, we'd be encouraged by you, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord Jesus, we realize that you lived on this earth as the ultimate example of one who, though you were God, set aside those prerogatives as God and trusted in the Father. And so, Lord, we look to you and thank you for your example that you left before us too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I get a couple guys to pass out the communion stuff? I guess those guys are Chase and John. I guess you're the guys. Wow.
There's Silas.
Oh, yeah, and Silas is here.